Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Luann Crane here with Ryan Dobson, and our host is psychologist and best-selling author Dr. James Dobson.
Well, Luann, before we start, we need to warn our listeners that our topic today is not for young children or the faint of heart.
Luann and Ryan, people here in the United States have valid reason to be concerned about the threat of Islamic terrorism. Mm. We have seen it. We all sat in horror and watched the Twin Towers come down. And then, of course, the Pentagon shortly thereafter. And there is no reason to believe that that threat and those who would kill innocent people like this are not still out there hoping to find a way, some weakness, to destroy us. And some are more worried than that. Some are worried about the possibility of a nuclear threat or biological warfare or what have you. Islamic terrorism is made up of people that hate the West, that hate us here in the United States. And we need to understand this because it looks like our government doesn't. Mm-hmm. And there are times when I just shake my head and say, how could it be that we're continuing to hemorrhage our wealth into the Middle East and give people who hate us the power and the wherewithal to come back and destroy us or kill a lot of innocent people? And the media doesn't seem to get it. Mm-mm. I hear very few politicians talking about this, but we need to understand it. I'm reminded often of the sons of Issachar, one of the tribes of Israel, coming, of course, as a descendant of Jacob. The sons of Issachar understood the times and knew what to do. Mm. We need people that understand the times and know what to do.
That's right.
Now, where do we get that information? We're not going to get it from the New York Times or from the Washington Post or even from Fox News. Yeah. We're not going to get it there. We have to go to people that we trust and people who have an understanding, who understand the times and know what to do. Mm. One of those people is Dr. Michael Youssef. He is the senior pastor of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta. He understands the Muslim mind and is in a position to inform us about this danger, this threat. Dr. Youssef has written 23 books, including one that we want to talk about today, Blindsided, The Radical Islamic Conquest, which sends chills down my back.
It does.
He has a ministry that's all over the world called Leading the Way. It's radio and television, and he is a very articulate man. Let me welcome him. He is on the phone now. Dr. Youssef, my friend, welcome to Family Talk.
What an honor to be with you, Dr. Dobson, again. You have been a hero of mine. You've inspired me for many years, as you inspired many others, and I thank God for you.
Michael, I am so glad to have the chance to have you address this issue because it is a major concern to us. Yes. Is it to you?
Yes, of course. And the reason I wrote the book Blindsided is out of sheer frustration. I've written books on Islam before, but I wrote this book in this particular time in history because of the confusion that seemed to come across around our American churches particularly, is the confusion between what is the truth and how you deal with that truth. For some folks, in order to express their love for the Muslim people, they have convoluted the truth. They basically say, let's wink at the truth, let's ignore the truth, let's not bring it up in the open or water it down so that we can show the Muslim people that we love them. But that is not really a true love. When Jesus said, I send you as sheep among wolves, he did not say, I'm going to defang the wolves. He did not say, I'm going to take a nail clipper and cut the nails. He didn't say any of this. He told us that the wolf is a wolf is a wolf, and you know what you're doing when you go to them. Mm. And I have seen today in the church where some in the mainline denomination started what this called Christ-Islam, where they're having Muslims come in and have joint worship service in the churches. You notice that never happens in a mosque, always in a church.
Mm.
Then we have evangelicals who have signed a document, well-known evangelicals, well-known, well-respected people who have signed a document about what is called the Yale document, which is a common word among us, that basically says that we worship the same God and that we have the, you know, God and the love of God in common.
Okay, lay that one to rest as a place to start.
Sure. It is blatantly false because we do not worship the same God to begin with. Allah is a God who is vindictive and vengeful, and the word grace does not even appear, and the word love does not appear. So how can we have the love of God in common when there is no word love in the 99 names of Allah in the Quran? Love is not one of them.
And,
he's merciful.
And Jesus is not one of them, obviously.
Well, Jesus, of course, is in the Quran, is a Isa, or just a prophet, and not divine, son of God, the Logos, the Word of God, revealed in human flesh. And so all of that says that we got, these individuals got hoodwinked. I was talking to one of them. He was about to speak somewhere, and they asked me, and when I told them he signed this document, and then when we asked him, he said, oh, I just saw some of the other big names in the evangelical arena signed, so I signed my name, without even examining them, looking at the facts. And so that's what drove me to write this book.
Yeah.
Look, I love the Muslim people. I work day and night in trying to take, in creative ways, the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Muslim people. That is the greatest, it's the height of love as far as I understand the scripture. We have a television station, 24/7, KingdomSat, 140 million homes in the Arab world broadcasting the gospel.
You were actually born in Egypt, weren't you?
I was born in Egypt. I have many Muslim friends growing up there in high school until I left back in the late 60s. And I still have some Muslim friends, and I love Muslim people. But because of my love for the Muslim people, I can accept their religion or their religious system as the truth, because it cannot be two truths. The truth is in Jesus, and in Jesus alone. He said, I am the truth. He didn't say, I'm a manifestation of the truth. And so I wrote this book in order to say, look, here's the truth. But here's how we can love the Muslim people regardless of what they believe. And we must accept the fact that we do not worship the same God.
Mm. Your book, Blindsided, has a photograph of the Twin Towers before they came down. So you're really also talking about that attack from radical Islam, aren't you?
Absolutely, because, you see, radical Islam... I don't know about radical. Really, that is the core of Islam. There are some Muslims who are westernized, who are secularized, who do not buy into what the core of Islam is. But the core of Islam says you got to conquer the world. You got to invade it. You got to conquer it. And then you subjugate those who are Christians and Jews but refuse to convert to Islam.
Tell me if you believe that Muslim mindset, that worldview, is waiting for the moment to attack us and to destroy as much of this nation as they can. Is that a real threat?
It is an absolute threat by vast numbers of people, not just a handful of Al-Qaeda.
Yeah.
Because this is the mandate they have from Allah, is to... subjugate the world to Allah and His Sharia, or His law. Their worldview is very simple. The world is divided into two segments, the house, what they call House of Islam, Dar al-Islam, and then the House of War. Everybody else who does not belong to the House of Islam belongs to the House of War. And so when I tell people you'll never have peace in the Middle East, because in their worldview is Israel occupying a land that belongs legitimately, in their views, of course, to the House of Islam. And therefore, they'll never rest until they try to throw Israel and destroy it. Mm-hmm. Throw it in the sea. And so it's a very simple thing. It's a very simple approach. World is divided into two segments. Mm-hmm. If you either get subjugated or killed.
Dr. Youssef, why do they hate Israel so much? I was just reading in the paper Times of Israel that the Egyptian presidential frontrunner is promising a tougher line on Israel. There's no give and take. It's just a one way. Why is there so much hatred?
Well, this is just like what I was saying, Ryan. Is basically they feel that Palestine is a land that belongs to the House of Islam. People who belong to the House of War, Jews, occupying it.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, the only way it can be washed clean is by it, all of it returned to the hands of Muslims. And then the Jews can become second-class citizens within that country.
There is a statement in Middle Eastern culture, I'm told, that says, wash blood with blood. What does that mean?
Well, basically, when it's a revenge. You do not, somebody comes in and attack you and shed blood. And when that happens, it brings shame on and dishonor. So the only way you wash that shame and the dishonor by shedding their blood.
Dr. Youssef, Ryan was asking why the hatred for Israel, but I'm curious, why the hatred now for America?
Well, because they see America as supporter of Israel, and they call America the great Satan, and Israel is the little Satan. And therefore, America represents power, represents economic power, represents military power. And in order for Islam to be victorious worldwide, that power has to be chipped away at until it is on its knees.
Mm-hmm.
So you notice they destroyed the financial power, the World Trade Center, the military power, the Pentagon, and they were going for the political power, either the White House or the when they got stopped in Pennsylvania. So those are symbol of power that must be subjugated and humiliated. And you notice right after that, an imam in New York wanted to buy that piece of land right there at the shadow of why? And they want to call this Cordova. Mm-hmm. Cordova is what Spain was, the land that they conquered and made Islam to be victorious over the infidels in Spain. And so they're going to call it the Cordova Center, which is a symbol. It's very symbolic. The Muslim world is highly symbolic. Symbols are very important to them. So they were going to build this and call it Cordova and said, hey, we came, we conquered. Now we have a symbol of victory by building this Islamic center right at shadow of 9/11.
Dr. Youssef, one more question. You mentioned 9/11 there. I mean, but since then, really a number of high-ranking al-Qaeda officials, including Osama bin Laden, have been captured or killed. And yet we still have these extreme security measures. So why is that? Have we not combated the problem at all?
No, not at all. For everyone they capture or kill, there are 100 who rise up. And we're seeing it all the time. I mean, they're capturing, thank God that they're able to stay one step ahead of them. But it will never, it's just the danger is not going to go away. It's going to increase, particularly now that Islamists have taken control in Egypt. They are now trying to take control of Syria. Make no mistake about it. Bashar al-Assad is not a choir boy. But nonetheless, he's a secular-minded Muslim. And that is why the uprising, these are not democracy lovers, these are Muslim Brotherhood. They want to take over and turn Syria into an Islamic state instead of being a secular state.
Yeah.
And so as the rise of Islamic movements take hold of power and money in Libya, in Egypt, in Tunisia, in Syria, and then, of course, you got Hamas and Hezbollah, and they're all surrounding Israel, as they rise to power, they're going to pressure the Saudis with all their money to influence and change things. We have textbooks in America today that are literally rewriting history, particularly the history of Islam, simply because there's too much money floating around and behind the scenes, public relations firms are being hired. People are working all over Europe and the United States. Look how the European all lining up with the so-called Syrian protesters. Why? because the Saudis hate a Shiite Bashar al-Assad. And so whatever the Saudis are behind, you're going to find the Europeans and the Americans are lining up right there in lock, stock, and barrel.
Michael, what is the Muslim Brotherhood? We're hearing a lot about it, and it seemed so promising at one point when there was such chaos in the Middle East. I think even our president talked positively about it. What's your perspective?
Well, I have studied it very closely. As a matter of fact, I've written some books about it at Emory University back in the 80s. It was established back in the 1920s. And established as a revolutionary movement to bring the Wahhabi top Islam from Saudi Arabia to Egypt by a man called Hassan al-Banna, who was a school teacher. And, of course, as when the revolution, the military succeeded against the British and the king in 1952, Nasser basically saw them as a threat, so he put them in prison. When Sadat came on the scene, he hated Nasser so much, so he released them. They ended up the ones who were killing him. And so they really are, if you look at their flag, two swords, and it says, get ready. Get ready for what? For jihad. And they'll say, we have no God but Allah. Muhammad is his apostle, and jihad is our way of life. And so it is really has always been a militant Islamic movement. It's never been, as the national security personnel was testifying in Congress, that it's a secular movement. It's not. It's a Wahhabi movement. It's a movement that want to bring the Sharia into Egypt, and therefore they want to impose it on the 10 million Christians who are living in Egypt today. And that's who they are. Now, they got an extremist group that came out of it called the Salafites, and now the Muslim Brotherhood make up 50% of the parliament. The Salafites make 20%. Between them, they control 70% of the vote in the Egyptian parliament.
Oh, it's scary. Wahhabism is responsible for beheadings in Saudi Arabia.
Exactly, and cutting of the left hand first, then the right hand, and just for simple thievery. And then, you know, the feet and all of that. It's just too gruesome to get into it.
So you do not believe democracy is going to come out of that movement?
No, not at all. Not for a moment. I never believed that for one second. And I said that the day there was an uprising. And I likened it both on Huckabee Show, or on CNN, and several other Fox channels. On that first week, I explained to them, just like some liberal people, students who demonstrated in Iran, and then they got swept off by the Ayatollah. I said, the Muslim Brotherhood staying behind the scene, looking at these naive young kids demonstrating in Tahrir Square, they're going to come in and they're going to wipe them out, and they're going to take over power. And that's exactly how it happened.
You know, Michael, I'm kind of an amateur student of history. I'm fascinated by it, especially that related to World War I and World War II. And I've read with alarm at how naive the British and the French were when Adolf Hitler was telling everybody what he planned to do. He told them the truth, and they refused to believe it. And as a result, they were blindsided, as you've indicated in this book. It does feel to me like there is a serious element of naivete here in the United States. In the same way that we're being told, Ahmadinejad is telling everybody he wants to destroy Israel, and he wants to drive the Jewish people into the sea and all the things that he said. He's also made some pretty radical statements about us, and then we saw it illustrated when the Twin Towers went down and the Pentagon was hit. So is that correct? Are we back where we were in Western countries at the start of World War II?
It's far worse. And the reason it's far worse is because there are trillions of dollars now are pouring in order to enforce their ideology. Take England, for example. I mean, from Harrods to Barclays Bank, so many financial institutions are now owned by the Qataris and by the Arabs who are militant Muslims.
And a lot of them in the United States.
A lot are coming in the United States. All sorts of investment companies that have, they're constantly changing the names. But if those who followed them understand and they will report on how many hundreds of billions of dollars are invested in variety of companies in the United States. And when you have that kind of money behind your speech, there are millions of dollars are poured into academic institutions. It will be Harvard, Yale, setting up Islamic chairs for Islamic studies. I write a column, and I've written extensively about this, and I showed, for example, that in the White House today, the person who's in charge of the Middle East policy is a lady who's a member of the Muslim Brotherhood, and I've written extensively about her.
You don't mean it.
Absolutely. I've written, I have her name, I have her picture dressed up in the hijab, and she is one of the most influential people in Middle East policy. There's so many committed Muslims. I remember when President Obama was announcing a man whom he's appointing as an ambassador to the Organization of Islamic States, and he called him, well, he proudly said he's a Hafiz, well, meaning he memorized the whole Quran. And that's the man who's representing him to the Organization of Islamic States. So they have infiltrated policymaking. They have infiltrated. There are so many law firms, prominent, well-known, traditional law firms who have whole divisions that are now studying the Sharia law, Sharia investments. Companies, many banks in America have whole divisions. The Treasury Department has a division in which they are studying the investment law according to Islamic Sharia. Mm. The tentacles are everywhere now.
Well, Luann and Ryan, this clock moves so fast when you're talking about things that are deeply significant
and
for
relevant.
Our daily lives mm-hmm. and for our children and for future generations. Mm-hmm. And so we really do need to continue to talk with Dr. Youssef. And if you can be with us again, sir, we will continue this discussion next time. And I
Absolutely.
Think our listeners are going to appreciate what you've got to tell us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, thank you. The title of your new book is Blindsided, The Radical Islamic Conquest. And again, just those words is frightening, frankly, to think that there are so many million people around the world who are committed to your destruction. And it behooves us to at least understand it, know how to pray,
right.
and to send the people into government that will also have an understanding. Dr. Youssef, thank you for being with us, and we'll pick this up right here next time.
Thank you for having me. I look forward to that.
Luann, this conversation with Dr. Youssef has just flown by, mm-hmm. and he has so much of interest to share, and I can't think of many other people who have a keener understanding of this topic.
Well, Ryan, that's why it's important for listeners to make sure they tune in tomorrow for the rest of our conversation with Dr. Youssef. In the meantime, we would encourage you to call us and ask for as many CD copies as you need to get this information into the hands of your friends and neighbors.
You can request those CDs or share a link to this program from drjamesdobson.org. There we'll also have links to Dr. Youssef's ministries as well as a link to where his book, Blindsided, is available.
And also at drjamesdobson.org, we'll include links to some other Family Talk broadcasts we've aired on this topic. I know many of you are hungry for more information. If you prefer to call us for any of these broadcast CDs, the number is 877-732-6825. And I would add that when you're on the line with us, let us know your favorite way to listen to the Family Talk broadcast.
And before we let our listeners go for today, Luann, I'd like to personally thank those of you who have joined Family Talk financially in recent weeks and months. There are so many wonderful things we'd like to do, developing new resources for families, but we can't do it without the donations of those who believe in our work and mm-hmm. want to help us in it.
We want to continue speaking out on issues like this mm-hmm. today, too, Ryan, that is impacting our culture. If you have not given recently, quite honestly, now would be a wonderful time for us to hear from you. Perhaps you've heard us talking about how here in the month of May, the impact of every gift you give is being doubled.
And we only have a few short weeks left in the month. And if our listeners could help us get ready for the leaner summer months, we really would appreciate it. And you can give by clicking on the Donate tab at drjamesdobson.org. Or one last time, our phone number is 877-732-6825.
And believe it or not, Ryan, someone may prefer to put a stamp on an old-fashioned envelope and drop us a note in the mail. Here's our address, 540 Elkton Drive, spelled E-L-K-T-O-N, Drive, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80907. Thanks so much for spending this part of your day with us, and we look forward to seeing you again right here tomorrow for more with Dr. Michael Youssef on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
We'll see you then.